I was delighted when my dear friend, Kristen, that you all stole from St. Michael's, invited me to preach on the first chapter of Ruth. This story in the Old Testament is one of my favorites, and I would encourage you after this morning to go home and read the rest of the story, because it is a beautiful story. As I read and reread this story of Ruth this week, I was impressed with three discernible themes in just the first chapter, which actually sets the stage for the whole rest of the story. And as we read it, we remember something very important, and that is it's about both our inner journey as well as our outward journey. It really begins with a continuing theme of the Exodus story, believe it or not, which is the theme all the way through the Hebrew scriptures and really all the way through our scriptures as well, because it's leaving our own Egypt and moving forward in our transformation journey. It speaks to us as a Christian community. The second theme speaks to our understanding about the difference between strict obedience and reverent devotion, which our story clearly expresses. And third, we'll see the clear message that Jesus gave us to love our neighbors as ourselves. The theme we saw in the gospel reading this morning, where Jesus said, "Who is our family?" And so the theme of acceptance and inclusion are extremely important themes in the story of Ruth. The setting for the book of Ruth was the period of Judges. It was a post-exilic author who composed this beautiful and meaningful story about Ruth. And those words we heard read this morning are often heard at weddings. In fact, I had someone after the first service come up to me and say, we had those words read to us at our wedding. But they are so meaningful in so many other ways. It's interesting that King David, that Ruth was the great-grandmother of King David. Isn't that interesting? Naomi, of course, was Jewish, and she'd been taken by her husband, Elimelech, to live in Moab during the time of a great famine in Judah and in Israel. Elimelech, her husband, died there and left Naomi with two sons, and they both got married, and they married women who were Moabites. That's Orpha and Ruth, not to be confused with Oprah, although after the first service, again, someone came up to me and said, "Did you know that actually Oprah's name was supposed to be Orpha, but her mother didn't know how to spell it?" Just thought I'd throw that in. And anyway, the sons died also. And now we have three widowed women with no one to look after them. Naomi did what probably most of us would think of doing, and that is to return back to Judah, to Israel, to be with her own people. And the daughter-in-laws loved her, and they wanted to go with her. But Naomi worked hard. She attempted everything she could think of to persuade them to stay and to return to their own people, because she was fearful of what would happen to them if they were to accompany her. And Orpha did so. She took the charge and went back to her own people. But Ruth refused. In the journey that Ruth and Naomi take, we realize that, again, this is a continuation of this Exodus journey, this inner and outward transformation for both of them. And as we read the rest of this book, we will see that the book of Ruth most definitely ties into the main theme of redemptive history. Our second theme in this book has to do with the difference between obedience and devotion. Recently, out at the Norbertine Abbey, I heard Rabbi Nahum Warlev, the Hebrew scholar, speak on this subject. One of the things that was said was, There are times when obedience is important. And there are also times when obedience can be problematic. That same rabbi made another distinction, which I thought was so interesting. He said that two of the verbs which were translated originally from the Hebrew scriptures, picked up by the King James, were actually translated wrong. The word obey, he said, is actually translated listen, or in some other versions of the Talmud, hearken. Different feeling about that word. And also, he said, the verb command should have been translated to charge. I find these verb changes very interesting in the way we read. So the next time that you're reading something and you see the word obey, think listen or hearken. It gives a whole different emphasis to that word. And when you hear the word command, think charge. Well, what about the reactions of these two daughter-in-laws? Orpha does take the charge. She goes back to her own people, but Ruth listens, discerns what God is probably whispering silently in her heart in order to stimulate perhaps that yearning to follow her mother-in-law as a way of devotion, and also to leave her own personal Egypt, her own Moab community. Imagine as well. When Ruth listens to what she believes to be the heart of God, we hear devotion rather than blind obedience, which is such an important message here. So we turn to our third message. Mark clearly tells us that Jesus made it very clear who were his family. They were those who were willing to do God's will. And it's certainly the second great commandment, to love our neighbor as ourselves. The book of Ruth's devotion and love are redefining the whole definition of family. It's the story of a wise, courageous, and visionary action at first, both for Ruth and later for Naomi and her husband, Boaz. Ruth, with her devotion as well as her determination to see beyond the tradition that she had been raised in and the social order that was going to be so different to her when she traveled. She actually was willing to think about profound possibilities and willing to trust in order to enact a very different and alternative future. Well, you remember, Ruth and Orpha are Moabite women. And we can understand this if we think about how Naomi was looking at this whole problem, because she didn't wish for her daughter-in-laws to accompany her, because in Bethlehem, both of her daughter-in-laws would be considered foreign women, and consequently too distant from her own kin to receive any kind of care or sustenance. Yet, here is that wonderful message that we begin to see from this book, the message of inclusion, that God actually welcomed non-Israelites into the covenant. It almost sounds like when Ruth gave that her words of saying, I am going to be with you, and I'm going to believe in your God, and I will be there till I die. Well, this is where we see the courage and the brave willingness of Ruth in both her devotion to Naomi, but even more so her devotion to trust the God of the Hebrew people when she pledges her allegiance. Ruth's own ethnic group from Moab, the Moabites, they were shunned at this time as foreigners because of the past mistreatment of the people of Israel. Ruth no longer, though, believes in Chemosh, who is the god of the Moabites. She's now willing to trust the living God that Ruth has come to know. And so, our beautiful story continues, and as you read the rest of the book of Ruth, you will discover that Ruth did find protective refuge when she came to Bethlehem. She married Naomi's kin, Boaz. She bore a son named Obed, who was the father of Jesse, and we all know, of course, that Jesse was the father of King David. We're reminded, because of this story, that socioeconomic distress is most often the reason for immigration of so many peoples. It certainly was the case of Naomi's family escaping from Judea. Many still today find themselves in miserable, desperate situations. Whether the river they have to cross is the Jordan, or the Mississippi, or the Rio Grande, in order to seek to do whatever it takes to ensure the safety and welfare of their families. When food and shelter and safety from violence become impossible, sometimes the only option then is to have to pack up and move. Not unlike Mary and Joseph, who had to flee to Egypt with Jesus to escape the violence of Herod. But we ask ourselves, when we think about this first moment when Ruth makes this decision, a big decision, did she have moments of trepidation and fear? Most likely. Most likely she did. But as Walter Brueggemann, the biblical scholar from Columbia Seminary, reminds us, we are, each one of us, called to a liberation journey for which we are never fully prepared. And this is truly about our trust in our Lord. Just as Ruth and before her the Israelites had to trust God for their journey, we each take our next steps in our spiritual journeys to leave that personal Egypt behind, where everything is always comfortable the way we've always done it, but rather with a commitment to trust in the living God who will never leave us nor forsake us. So with devotion, as well as courage and trust, with devotion that has reverence, we open our hearts to all of God's family. Amen.